Okay, I have put everybody on the call on mute except for the mentors that are on the call. This is Dee Sweeney, and welcome to tonight's call. It's on really basic information on improvisation. And one of the things that we hear over and over is that for many people, you're more comfortable in going to the dentist than having a tooth pulled than you are with the thought of improvisation. So this call is really aimed at some basics of trying to get started with improvisation so that you can begin to enjoy it. Some of the things that we do on the call, most of the things that we do on the call won't necessarily be specifically oriented to therapeutic music. So the call is not about getting it right. It's about getting started. And once you've gotten started and found a way into it, then you can begin to play around with different kinds of effects. But if you're paralyzed and having trouble getting started, it's pretty tough to continue on. So the first thing that I'm going to do is demonstrate, and I want you to know that my harp is tuned a half a tone lower than all of yours. So if you try and play along with me while I'm demoing, it won't sound good at all because you can't match it. So what I want you to do is listen initially. Then what I'm going to do is give you time to just noodle on your own, and then I will take everybody off mute, and you'll have an opportunity to either comment, ask questions, whatever, on what we just did. So the first thing that I'm going to do is play around with a very, very simple chord pattern. So in the left hand, it's going to be a three-finger pattern, and it's going to be the triads of the chords that we're dealing with. So I'm going to work, first of all, with C, E, G, the C chord. This is the C, E, G part of it in each hand. And then I'm going to move to the D minor chord, so it will be D, F, A in each hand. The mentors, I told you you're flipping papers, I think, so if you could put your phones on mute, I think that would help. Okay, here we go. Some versions of C, E, G, C, E, G in the right and the left hand. And when I was in the right hand, I sometimes repeated a pattern. And there were a couple of times when I played, when I was doing a C, E, G in the left hand, I might have played an E in the right hand or a G up an octave in the right hand, or a C in the right hand. So what I've done is really, really simple, and part of You know, I think part of what you're looking for is to really listen to what you're playing and take time. Take time to breathe. Time to take time to figure out what you're doing. In improvisation and theory, it's unplanned, and you just make do in the moment, but this is a step into improvisation. So as I changed from the C chord to the D chord, I kind of had to think that and get my fingers in the right place. But I wasn't speeding through, and I wasn't playing every note in the same tempo. And sometimes I just felt like I was going to repeat, so I did. So what I'd like you to do, I'm going to give you 2 minutes, and what I'd like you to do on your own is just play around with nothing but the C and the D triad, and just see what you come off with, and then I'll take you off mute at the end of the 2 minutes for questions and comments. Okay, go ahead. Okay, I'm going to take you off mute. If you're on your own mute, you'll need to unmute yourself. Okay, everybody's up. So are there questions or comments on what you just tried? If there's somebody speaking, I can't hear you. Probably have to take yourself off mute.
Can you play the left hand, you know, when I started playing with it, I couldn't figure out if you had played the left hand and the right hand together at any point, or if you are just going from right hand to left hand.
For the most part, is this Ruth?
Now, this is Jean in North Carolina.
How about that? I, in fact, for the most part, was playing left hand, right hand separately.
Okay.
So, purposefully being very simple, there were a few occasions when I was playing a CEG, for instance, in the left hand, and on one of those notes, I also played an E or a C or a G with the right hand.
Okay.
But I didn't do that very much. I was pretty much doing just the separate hands, and I usually was doing left hand first, then right hand, and if I went up higher, then it was the left hand moving up and the right hand moving up from there, and then the same thing coming down the harp.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Other comments, questions?
See, this is Edie in Washington State, and those two simple chords are so beautiful together. I found after you complete the C run in whatever way you choose, to lean into the G minor, if you just play single note F, E, D, and then bring the chord in, it sort of anticipates the D minor chord going up. And then do the same when you go back to C, just play something that will take you back to the C chord.
So I think what I heard you say, Edie, is play the C, however you're doing it, and then to lead into the D chord, I lost it, so say it again.
To lead into the D chord, you could play the single notes F, E, D, and then start your chord.
Yep. So that's a really good point. So when you're playing chords like that, you don't have to just go from chord to chord to chord to chord, back and forth. And you don't have to get very complex in what you're doing. What Edie is suggesting is that you just play some single notes in your right hand, and I'll demo it, and Edie, if it's not what you're talking about, let me know, but I think I have it. So this is C. And now I'm going to go to the D. So in my right hand, I just am deciding that I'm going to play D, F, E, D. And I'm going to do a D, E. That's an A, D. And then I'm going to do an A, D to get back to the C. Improvisation is you take an idea like that and you just play with it, you noodle with it, and listen to see what you like the sound of. Some things you're going to do, you're going to say, oh, I don't think I need to do that again. And other things you're going to go, wow, was that ever nice. So I'm going to put you on mute again. And what I'd like you to do this time is play around with Edie's idea of just using some of those single runs in the right hand to move from chord to chord. So it sounds like you're connecting what you're doing. And I'll give you 2 minutes again. I've just taken you off mute. I'd love to have some comments on what you discovered. If there's anyone that's talking, you must still be on mute.
Okay, this is Mary in Milwaukee. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you, Mary.
Oh, okay. What I've been trying is doodling in C, and then using the right hand maybe to come down C, D, A, and play A minor for a little bit, the A, C's, and E's, and then, again, using that technique of the right hand going from A to G and playing in the G and B and D. And this got a little more involved in everything, but it was kind of fun. And then work your way up down to, from G and then down to E minor, the E's, G's, and D's, and you kind of sink into D, and then using the Edie's idea, then go from, or Edie's or yours, I forget which this was, go from D minor back to C. So you could kind of go around, just, you know, between majors and minors and work around. It was fun to do, and it worked out okay.
Absolutely. That's perfect, Mary. Anybody else?
Hi, it's Dee in Ontario.
Hi, Dee.
Nothing sounded bad. They sounded well together, and the single notes just let them flow into it.
Isn't that amazing? That's fun.
And something I'm going to practice.
Yeah. So, from what Dee said and Mary said, I would just comment that you don't have to do complex things to have fun and to have it sound good. Now, Mary moved from the C chord, did some things in the right hand that led her to an A triad, and then went into other chords, which you can do. If you take any piece that you're playing and you look at what the chord structure is in the left hand, usually that gives you a nice chord progression that sounds good. But what I learned is that if I simply listen to myself and I try different things, I discovered that it sounded really nice to go back and forth between C and D minor, and it sounds nice to go from C and A minor. It sounds nice to go from C to A minor to F and G. And I'm going to put some of these suggestions in a handout so you can play around with them. But you don't have to just stay with two chords, but you can do an awful lot just staying with two chords and keeping it simple. I think that one of the ways that we go wrong when we try and improvise is we try and do too much. And one of the terms that I use is limit the sandbox. Make a small sandbox of what you're going to do, what elements you're going to play with, and then noodle with it. Don't add in more stuff. Just try that and try all kinds of variations on it before you move to something else. When you think that you can improvise using the entire harp, using every chord, using all your fingers, it's way too complex. And it's just really hard to relax with it and get the feel. And what is true is that you can improvise and make music from the first minute that you ever sit down to play the harp, whether you have good technique or whether you know how to play fast music or not. So that for me, one of the things that I think is the most important thing is listening. And I think one of the second most important things is limit the sandbox. And you can have 20 million sandboxes out there, but when you're in one, stay playing in that sandbox. I'm going to suggest that we First of all, are there any questions or comments? Okay, I'm going to take that to be no. So I'm going to suggest that we take a couple more minutes and play around with Mary's idea of getting into some additional chord patterns. Some additional chords, excuse me. So I'm just going to give you a couple of minutes to play around with that and see what you think works with that. And then I'm going to give you a couple more suggestions. Okay, let's all stop playing. And do you have questions, comments? If you're speaking, you need to come off mute.
Hi Dee, this is Edie.
Yeah.
And that was really fun to play around with that. And one thing I discovered was in my right hand, if I played like three notes and then repeated those notes but changed the chord, but kept the same notes in the right hand with some chords like C going to F, it sounds beautiful. Just keeping that right hand the exact same notes and just change your left hand chord.
And what three notes did you use in the right hand?
E, B, and C. Just come down and start with the C chord, then play that again with an F chord.
Okay, I'm going to try it. Yeah. tried it.
Yeah.
Another thing that you can do is in the right hand, if I'm on a C chord in the left hand, and I'm on a G in the right hand, another chord that has the G in it is the G chord. And another chord that has G in it is the E minor chord. And I can go back to C. So in the right hand, I just use the same note. And in the left hand, I've chosen chords that have that note in it. So that's another way you can play with it.
And is that just D?
Yep, go ahead.
Hi, D. It's Linda. Was that in the right hand, was that just one note that you were playing in the right hand, and that was the E?
I played G.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I played a G.
A G, okay.
Yeah. But you can do that. You can play A and do an A minor and an F chord and a G minor chord. Same thing. You don't have to change notes in the right hand. You change your chords in the bass that are common to that note.
Got it.
You said G as in God, D?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, I'm going to put everybody back on mute, and I'm going to throw out another idea. One of the things that you'll often hear is the recommendation that in the bass, you don't include the third. So if I'm using a C chord, instead of doing C, E, D, we suggest not including that E, instead playing 1, 5, and 8. So in this case, it would be C, G, C. And the reason for that is that in the bass, when you play the third, it tends to muddy the sound. And that 1, 5, 8 is just a really, really open tone. So what I'm going to do is alternate between the G and the A chord. Now I'm going to be in pentatonic. So there's two things I'm introducing. One is using the 1-5-8 in the left hand. And the second thing I'm going to introduce is playing around with pentatonic. And the easiest way to do that without changing any levers is be in a C tuning and only use the white string. That gives you five notes. And virtually every note that you would play, no matter what you play it with, will sound good because all the half tones are eliminated. So if I do this, and in the right hand, I just do whatever on the white string. As I just alternated between the G and the A, 1-5-8, and in the right hand, when I was landing on a note along with the chord, I made sure that I was landing on, if I was playing G, D, G, then I landed on a B, which is in that chord, a D or a G. And when I headed to the A chord, then I would land on the A or the E. Now, I also could land on any note and it doesn't sound bad. I'm going to do that this time, not pay quite such close attention. I stayed on the D and I changed to the A. So when I moved to the G chord, I was still on A, and instead of going, oh my gosh, I made a mistake, I just... slowly moved it to resolution. Now another way you could vary that kind of thing is vary the notes you're playing first. Instead of playing 1-5-8, play 5-1-8. And that will change the feel. And then if you put in a rhythm, that's going to change the feel some more. If I were doing this with the triads that we were using before and staying pentatonic, I would do a triad, for instance, on G. Triads and the pentatonic because you don't have some of the strings that you're using. So what I'm going to do is put you on mute again. And let's see, you're already on mute, I guess. Yeah, you are already on mute. I'm going to leave you on mute and give you a couple of minutes to just play around in the pentatonic. Okay, we're at the 2 minutes, so I'm going to take you off mute and see if there's comments. Hey, do you have questions, comments? Let's everybody come back and stop playing. Thank you.
Okay, this is Mary in Milwaukee. I tried something that was fun. I tried something. It was just the G and the open fifth, the D and then the octave G, and just went back and forth on that a little bit, and then switched to the A E A, and then let the right hand just go back and forth, up and down, and just as you say, the white strings, which was that turned out really nicely. That was fun. It sounds quite good. It sounds it's easy, and it sounds like it could be a terribly difficult piece. So anyhow, thank you for the idea.
Thanks. Anybody else?
Dee, this is Linda. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I also like that change that you suggested in there using the 5/1/8. I think that's what you said.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. In the left hand. That's a nice change up.
Well, I want to give credit to Stella Benson. She actually uses this pattern in a piece that she wrote called Aqua Timber. And it just goes back and forth, so it's very mesmerizing. And then in the right hand, it's just wandering on a white string. Any other comments on that? Questions?
This is Edie. That just sounds beautiful, that 5/1/8. And something I also played around changing was I played 1 and then 5 and 8 together. 1, 5, 8 together. So it's just, you know, one note and then the other two. And then play around on the upper and keep that. It's almost drone-like in the bass. Play the 1 and play the 5 and the 8 together.
Oh, the 1 and the 5. I was doing it reverse, but you could do it with the, you said 1 and the 5/8 together, right?
First play the 1, and then the second beat is 5/8 together.
Yep. Like that.
Yes.
And you also can do that. I could do that on the, forgetting about it being pentatonic, I could do the, that's an F, and a G, or I could do G. Now, what you do in the right hand changes, and definitely your sound changes, but any of these patterns, once, you know, if you get introduced to a specific pattern like the G and the A, try taking the exact same 1/5/8 relationship and moving it into other chords and see what it does. It just changes up the sound and gives you more options. That was one of the big light bulbs that went on for me in the past year, is that I could take a pattern like that and move it. And I didn't have to totally reinvent the wheel, but I totally changed sound. And sometimes I liked it and sometimes I didn't. You can do that with a number of left-hand patterns. Are there any other comments before I go to the last thing?
Hi, this is Jean again. When you're playing a pentatonic, is that considered like a minor sound?
Well, when you're on a G, for instance, in this one, that's a major sound.
Oh, okay.
So the A is a minor sound. So I don't think I would I'm not a music theorist, but I don't believe I would classify pentatonic as either major or minor.
Okay. So it really is the left chord that makes it major or minor.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
That certainly is my perception.
Okay.
Because I think the left hand is, when you're moving this into a therapeutic style, the left hand is kind of what anchors.
Sure, yeah.
And your right hand, you know, tries to mesh with that, and you get to use your, you know, all the strings that you want to. You don't have to stay just in the chord, but you keep coming back to the chord, the 1, 5, or 8 as kind of a home.
Okay. I'm really liking all these different ideas, and I look forward to getting the handout with it, too.
Okay, I'm going to put you on mute. And I'm going to demonstrate one last thing. We'll probably not have time for you to noodle with it, because I really would like to just see that in the section of the call. But you'll have it in your handout and you can play around with it. If you take, if you put your left hand, if you put your right hand, fourth finger on C, and don't play it, just finger it, on C, D, E, going up, hit the F string, and on G, with your thumb. So you're basically wrapping around that F string. So I can play it. Or I can do waterfalls. Or I can, I just changed the order that I was playing the notes. I can also do that same fingering pattern by putting my thumb on the C and wrapping around the B. So I put my thumb on the C, second finger on the A, G, third on the G, and fourth on the F. So I'm wrapping around the B. So if you've seen Encounters of a Third Kind, that's what's played there. So I can do, I'm starting on the G. So I can just cascade up or down, or I can do lots of variations with that. But it changes the sound away from just a triad or a 1-5-8. So that one's kind of fun to play around with. And you'll see a couple of other things on the handout that you can play with. I'm not going to try and rush them here. So I think, since we do have a couple of extra minutes, I am going to go ahead and give you a couple of minutes to play with that idea. So you're wrapping around the F, thumb on G, wrapping around the F, and then thumb on C, wrapping around the B, is the way you do that. So go ahead and play with that for a couple of minutes. We've got time. Okay. I'm going to take you off mute and see if there's questions, comments.
Can you just, this is Dee again, can you just explain this wrapping word again?
Yeah, if you put your hands on your heart and start with your thumb on G.
Yeah.
Give it a skip F and then continue down on every note. So you're wrapping around the F. Your thumb and your second finger are wrapped around the F. And if you use that same pattern with your thumb on C, what you're wrapping around is the B. You're skipping that note.
You're skipping the lower one. Okay.
Skipping the B. So if you start on G, you're skipping F.
Uh-huh.
If you start on C with your thumb, you're skipping B.
Okay, gotcha.
Gotcha? Okay. Any other questions or comments? And is anybody speaking? You're on mute. Okay, I'd love to have comments in terms of if this call format works for you.
I really like it. It makes me practice or try out what you're talking about immediately so I have something to fall back on.
And would it be useful to have more time or more repetitions of any particular thing after there's comments? Or is the format pretty, you know, it's the time that you have to noodle adequate, or would you like longer?
I think I like having all the different examples and a little bit of play, knowing that we're going to get some feedback from you in paper form, too, to help us remember what we've done.
Okay.
Yes, for me, this is Mary in Milwaukee. For me, this couple of minutes like that worked out just right. On that last one, using the one skipping the F and then the other one skipping the B going down. It was interesting to play a couple ascending patterns in the one and then intersperse a descending or even reverse that but still keep those same notes up and down. It's very nice. That was fun too. anyhow, no, this format has been working nicely.
Great. Thank you.
This is Edie. I would agree. It's great to stop for a little bit, practice, and then have you clarify and add a little bit. It's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, I second that. This is Linda. I think having that opportunity helps us to kind of cement it in, and then when you give us time for questions, maybe if I haven't quite got it yet or missed something, then that gives me another opportunity. So, yeah, I think the format is terrific.
And it's a good length. You don't want too long. And it brings in our kinetic intelligence.
Was it Mary again?
No, that was Dee.
Oh, Dee. Oh, she's on that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else?
I love
This is Dee.
This is Beth. I was just going to say, I love that it does give me a little bit of framework because I'm a new harpist, so it really helps me, like you said, narrow the options so I'm really focusing on just one or two things, which is what good improvisation is. So thank you. And I was also curious why you had the mentors on, if they were going to be able to add in anything.
The mentors really, for me, rich in the call. It's a part of it, because they have different input and ideas. So they strengthen the call. And the mentors are the folks that are really working with you on an ongoing basis in between. And so all of the mentors attend at least 4 calls a year to just stay on top of the information. And, of course, they can also listen to the calls, and they're asked to do that so that they're aware of the information that's covered. But they really have added to every single call that they've participated in. So for me, it's lots of added value and enrichment in the call.
Definitely first as well. Thank you.
I think there was someone else who was going to comment.
Yes, that was me. I'm Judy on Bainbridge Island. I think the format works really well, though I have not been able to hear you well or hear what you're playing or understand the notes that people are mentioning. So I'm going to look forward to maybe the recorded call on online will help, and anything that you could print out. So I think the format works. I'm just sad that I haven't been able to really understand this on this call. Thanks for doing it.
Thank you. Any other comments? Otherwise, we're done for the evening.
Dee, this is Edie. I just have to give a shout out to my other Canadian person on here. Did I hear Ontario?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm from Manitoba.
Oh. Well, that's about as far as going to Florida.
Yeah, I live in Washington, but I'm Manitoba, so hello to Canada.
Well, hello to you, too.
Thanks.
All right, so I'll bid you good night. Good dreams. Have fun, and I will send a hand up.
Okay, thank you.
You might try putting a new battery in the mic?
Well, hey, that's a thought. I don't think we thought of that one.
Okay. Yeah, I tried it with mine, and I seemed to get better volume the other day.
Thank you for
addressing
that,
because
I'm
scratching
my head.
And also, this is Beth. When I call in on my cell phone, I can't hear as well, so I try to call in on my home phone, you know, that has a better speaker.
Yeah, I'm working on a speaker phone that's supposed to be really high quality.
Oh,
and
no,
I meant the conference table.
Yeah, no, I meant for people calling in.
Okay.
Yeah, that it's gonna sound much better if people call in on a home phone. You know,
yeah, that's true.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.